This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey everyone, we are unpaywalling the 200th episode of The Flagrant Ones with special guest Craig Kilborn. If you'd like to check out some more of our bonus content, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones. And if you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode, the link for that is in the description. Thank you so much and enjoy the show.
Hollywood Handbook.
We haven't started yet, correct?
No, we started.
Let's call it. Let's say, here, let's start right now.
Yeah, because I don't
know. This is how, you know, in your hosting career, I don't know why you just didn't do it like this, where like everyone is just talking at the beginning of the segment.
And then you suddenly spring it on them that there's a show.
Because there are things I might say that it's like innocently to you guys, like, oh, I didn't get my sleep last night. I only had my six hours. And then I don't want that out there. Like, oh, he's whining.
That's your alibi.
So, you know, I put on a little bit of a little more professional when we start.
But Craig, I had a sleep-related question for you
just to check in
with your energy level and what I need to bring, because I did listen to you on Goldie's show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Are we dealing with valerian root, Craig, or melatonin, Craig? Because I know that melatonin, Craig, is a little groggier.
Yeah, that's funny. Thank God, neither. And I won't be doing that very often. I do it maybe 3 times a year, and I did it actually 2 days before I talked to those guys. I had them on my podcast. I might actually re-record it. I haven't decided. Those guys are nice, but I have pretty good energy today.
Great. No, I've been feeling good energy. I was like, Jesus, if this is melatonin, Craig, I'd hate to see the full bore version.
Have you guys ever taken either valerian root or melatonin?
I took valerian root last night.
No way. Really?
And I woke up seeing spots, man. It's too much for me. My body can't handle that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Why would you take it last night? You couldn't fall asleep or?
I was having a little trouble falling asleep this whole week. I said, I got to bed a little earlier. I said, let me turn it in.
Is it the excitement of the Timberwolves and the Rudy Gobert trade? A lot of people across the country are having trouble sleeping with anticipation for your Minnesota Timberwolves.
To see the Twin Towers out there. I mean, you move towns over to the four. I know you're a big Timberwolves fan. What is your opinion on the trade? Do you like it? Do you think they gave up too much?
So am I dealing with basketball aficionados or just casual fans? Or what am I dealing with you guys?
We're three levels of expert.
Yeah.
Carl's master super level expert.
Yeah, right? Everybody
Hayes
loves
used
my
to
coach.
Actually write for the Celtics True Hoop blog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I, of course, am just still finding my way through this world of hoops.
So I've since second grade, I've been addicted to the NBA. I started playing basketball and I played in college, but I always
You play a little ball?
What's that?
You play a little ball. I heard you play a little ball.
Oh yeah. At Montana State, the basketball power. But I was a poor man's Pistol Pete. The defensive stance hurt my lower back, but I was very creative.
Hurt his too.
Yeah, yeah. I was creative offensively. No two shots were the same. No, I shot a three-pointer and scoop
good?
Shots. Yeah, no, I was kidding. It's like I'm, you know, ambidextrous, or as the guy from NC State said, amphibious, which is the old joke. But no, I could play. But as far as the NBA, I love the NBA. And now as I'm older, I don't watch all the other games, but I watch all 82 games of the Timberwolves. And it's hard to get guys up there. Fortunate to get KG. Small market teams are difficult to get talent. And then when it's the coldest market in the NBA, which Minnesota is, it makes it very difficult to get free agents up there. Thank God KG wanted to stay. Kevin Love did not. Stephon Marbury did not. Looks like Cat wants to stay. Hopefully Anthony Edwards does. But the Wolves were talking about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, to get somebody to play with Cat in the front court, maybe Miles Turner from the Pacers. And then we heard about Clint Capella. Because as you know, Anthony Davis with the Lakers, he gets to play power forward. He gets to put Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. So we didn't think Rudy Gobert was available. I will not defend the package we gave up. It was excessive, in my opinion. My joke is, which if you know the NBA, but it's the Wolves, excuse me. How can Danny Ainge make this trade and not get Jaden McDaniels? He's the guy that they wanted. He's a young, talented player, Scottie Pippen light, but so we kept our core group. Didn't mind getting rid of Patrick Beverley or Malik Beasley. And I'm excited to see how Rudy works with Kat. I think it's going to be either good or very good. Mm-hmm. And we were bad on defense. And when we lost to Memphis in the playoffs, Brandon Clark was offensive rebounding like a madman.
Yeah.
And we were one of the worst rebounding teams. Kat can't do it alone.
No.
So I'm excited. I mean, they could be three future Hall of Famers, actually. Kat, Gobert, and Ant. We don't know, but it's a lot of talent. So I'm excited. Long answer, but I'm excited.
No, what do you, I just want to say Anthony Edwards is probably the most exciting young player to me right now. And his performance in Adam Sandler's Hustle was otherworldly. But the package was big. And I thought, why did they give up so many picks? And the comment I did see from a Timberwolves fan that resonated with me was, oh no, we won't be able to draft Jarrett Culver again next year. Right. And I thought, when you look at it that way.
I don't know if other teams have made as many mistakes as we have with the picks. The famous one is Johnny
The number
Flynn.
One's Johnny Flynn. Ones have gone pretty well compared other franchises, but yeah,
Johnny Flynn was so dope in college.
What's that?
He was so dope at Syracuse, though.
I know, and apparently in the NBA he hurt his hip, mm-hmm. and he was never the same player. And I'm always optimistic at the beginning, but we took Chris Dunn over Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Culver wasn't very good. Obviously, who else? They're just different ones. Rashad McCants, all these guys. But I'd have to look at the draft to see Wesley Johnson. We took all these guys. And it's just, and we also,
I think they drafted for defense on a few of those where it was like, I feel like Culver was supposed to be a good defender and Chris Dunn was supposed to be a higher level defender than Murray or Heald who went after him. Okogie, not that there were necessarily great players available in those spots, but it feels like they were just trying to build up their defense, which finally they can do with Gobert.
Craig, let me ask you this though. What do you think Anthony's ceiling is?
Well, nationally, everyone, like I talked to Ryan Russillo and some of these other guys, everyone's obsessed with Anthony Edwards on the national level.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch every game and he's not consistent yet,
mm-hmm.
but I can't tell. To answer your question specifically, none of us know because his rookie year, he was supposed to be very raw. He handles the ball really well. No one talks about his ball handling. He can really dribble. Got to be more of a pure shooter. He's a better shooter. He works on. He's streaky. He makes these threes, but his ability to get to the rim in the fourth quarter and crowd is kind of ridiculous. So they were comparing him to Dwayne Wade, which is high praise because I think Dwayne Wade is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what his ceiling is, but everyone thinks he's going to be pretty special. I will say, so I watched every game as a rookie, and then I watched every game this year. But he had two games back-to-back. He had the play-in game with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. He ate us up.
And then he had the first game in Memphis when we won. And there were some guys in the Wolves organization I know, and I said, we don't know how good this guy can be. Mm-hmm. Like the biggest games ever that he played in, the first two big games, it was unreal. Then he came down to earth a little bit in the Memphis series, but I can't tell. He's definitely really, really good. Is he going to be better than Donovan Mitchell? I hope so.
He sort of improved, I would think, basically exactly the way you'd want between his age, like 19 and 20 seasons.
Right.
Usage went up and his shooting got better.
It went up. I just, there are times, it's kind of weird where Coach Finch, who we all love, always tells him to go downhill, attack, attack, attack. Mm-hmm. Don't settle. And he settles for three-pointers, but he makes some of them. I mean, it's weird. Yeah. Sometimes they look like bad shots. But my thing is, hey, Coach, it wears him out to drive all the time. I mean, it just wears a guy out.
Sure.
Yep.
And I remember there was this game. I actually might have Chris Finch on the show, and I want to ask him about this, because in the Wolves organization, everyone loves Chris Finch. He's like the most popular guy. He just got an extension. We call him Finchy. And they said he was an offensive savant with his play calling and his offensive flow and everything. There was a game 2 years ago where Cat and Ant scored over 40. It was at Phoenix. And in the fourth quarter, we saw something. Whoa, where'd this come from? That Cat was in the high post, and they had Ant run down and post up, like back-to-back plays, like post up. I was like, oh my God, keep posting his ass up. This is fun. You know, it doesn't wear you out as much. But I haven't seen that. And I want to ask him, Finch, he'll probably say it just depends on the matchups. But for whatever reason, he ran Anthony Edwards down in the post, and he doesn't have to spend all that energy dancing on the perimeter, you know?
He's so good. I think his ceiling is through the roof. He's my favorite young guy, out of all, like, the new generation. Once my GOAT LeBron retires and, happens with, what?
What about Josh Giddey?
Is that your GOAT?
Giddey.
No, I was kidding. I was just kidding.
Thank you. Oh,
I was just kidding.
God,
I was trying to name it. I mean, he's this passer who doesn't shoot very well, but he's stylish. I think he's from Australia, right?
Australia, yeah. He's fun.
He's fun, right?
I'm excited to see him get tangled up, because they're the dirtiest players.
Who's that?
Australians.
Oh, yeah, we have a very anti-Australian.
Oh, well, what's his nose? The guy from the Cavs. He was dirty. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
And Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles, an absolute
menace to society.
I didn't Bogut, see, too, right?
Put him on the firing squad. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that Joe Ingles was dirty, but I know that he and Paul George went at it. But I didn't see away from the ball. I just know he would loft that lefty three with the high arc. So he was grabbing and pulling and stuff, or what?
Oh, my gosh. Was he?
Yeah.
I think he had a knife out there.
Wow.
I'm surprised, Carl, that you've let Craig slide for this long on saying that he doesn't mind giving up Patrick Beverley. Carl's a Patrick Beverley super fan.
Huge Patrick Beverley fan. I don't know why you don't mind giving up Patrick Beverley.
After he
single-handedly turned the culture around. He turned the culture around in Minnesota. He was the reason y'all went as far as you did last year. Maybe I can help. Go ahead, help me, Craig.
Doc Rivers says Pat Beverley is crazy. He certainly played very well at the Wolves, and there is a concern that we're going to miss any. I'm trying to think on the roster now who is going to be that guy, and
nobody.
I don't know if we have that guy.
You don't, and to make matters worse, you added Rudy Gobert, who is soft as melted marshmallow.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't like the Frenchman. You know,
no.
We'll see what happens. There's a guy named Larry Miller who used to own the Utah Jazz, and he's now deceased. And he said, I don't want to win a championship with Dennis Rodman. So I'm a fan. I'm not greedy. I'm not even the championship. If you said, I did this with the Vikings. There were certain quarterbacks. We never won a Super Bowl, the Vikings. We were 0-4 in the Super Bowl. We've had a lot of different quarterbacks. Sometimes I say, I don't want to win with this guy. And of course, we're not winning with that guy, but I'm particular. So Patrick Beverley to me is too crazy, too confrontational. I don't like how he treats Chris Paul, who I love. And I just think he's too undisciplined. Now, obviously what if he undercuts my man Ant this year? Cause he just does that crazy stuff. What he did to Westbrook, and I can't stand Westbrook, but when he gets up and the guy, he's too crazy for me. So I don't like him. I mean,
you don't like my favorite guys.
Yeah. There are a lot of guys I like. We should talk about, I think I'm the same age as you guys. I look the same. Mm-hmm. Growing up, who do you think my favorite player was? I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. Who do you think my favorite player was?
Maybe I should bow out because I think I know.
Oh, okay.
If you're the same age as me, your favorite player was Kenyon Martin.
Growing up, this guy, everyone thinks it was Larry Bird, and it wasn't Larry Bird.
No, okay?
It was not Larry Bird. So this guy, I could do this and you'd figure out who it is, but how old are you guys? Were you guys around in the 70s or not?
I'm going to guess, was it Frazier?
You heard me say that the other day. It was initially when I started following basketball.
I did not.
He didn't hear.
Okay.
I know
that
it was Frazier.
Did I guess right?
Wait, don't say it
until you found Dr. J.
Dr. J. It was Dr. J. So when my dad was a Knicks fan, we moved to Minnesota. My dad's from New York. When I started playing basketball and following it, Walt Clyde Frazier was my favorite player before I discovered Dr. J. And for those of you who don't know Walt Clyde Frazier, they named the Puma Clydes. He wore Pumas, and they named the sneakers after him. The Clyde, you know, Clyde Frazier, Puma Clydes.
Ah, oh yes, that's the man on the front of the box of the dye that I use for my beard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that
just for men?
Just for men. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's done that for a long
time. Clyde had a book. He showed no emotion. They called him Clyde because the movie Bonnie and Clyde came out, and he was wearing the same wide brim hats.
Wow.
And he had this book called Rockin' Steady, A Guide to Basketball and Cool. And I got the book when I was a kid, and I read it. And he talked about the opponents he played. He talked about, you know, not showing emotion. Then he talked about his wardrobe. He named his suits, his leather pants. And then he had these two belts. And one of the belts was called an orgy belt. I'm 8 years old when I have this book. An orgy belt. It's a white belt with silhouettes. And it's like... dark brown and tan, a woman and a man intertwined silhouettes around the belt, like beautiful intertwined lovemaking, orgy belt. Hey, Mom, Clyde Frazier has an orgy belt. I want an orgy belt. I want to wear one to school. No, son, we're not doing that. So anyways, that was a real book called Rockin' Steady, Clyde Frazier.
I've got a Dr. J story that won't be interesting to anyone else, but my parents went to college with Dr. J.
University of Massachusetts.
That's right. They were there at the same time. And I believe the story goes that my mom was working at the cafeteria and Dr. J came through and got his food. And then he scribbled a little something on a napkin and slid it across the counter to the redhead scooping the mashed potatoes.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard "And That Forward"? University of Massachusetts. You remember that or not?
No.
Julius Erb, the Dave Zinkoff, the PA for the Sixers. He was one of the best.
Oh, okay.
He did the introductions, and he was the PA announcer at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. "And That Forward, Julius Erb." He was very colorful.
Think about Frazier. Guys like that who were identical, who could write a book about being cool.
Right.
And everyone was like, yeah, I want that
100%,
book.
100%, let me get that book. Yeah. Yeah, I want to be cool as well.
And then like through the successive generations, there were guys that were associated with like a certain style. Like I think Magic.
Yeah.
Was that for a lot of people, other players through the 80s. 90, all the way to like Iverson, I think, is being kind of like the last one that like, okay, this is dictating how people dress and like associated with like a culture within the league. We don't have anyone like that anymore.
Speaking of cool, I forgot to say something, and then I'm gonna comment on Allen Iverson. Speaking of cool, you know what's cool, young people? Kreger's has a new podcast called The Life Gorgeous, and I forgot to say it at the top. It's on a YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. I just got a YouTube channel. So Craig Kilborn, Life Gorgeous podcast. We have a bunch of people on and you'll enjoy it. And
welcome.
It's out now. So I forgot to say that. And that's what's cool. I wasn't an Iverson fan. He carried the ball a lot. I'm trying to think. There are guys that are controversial players. I mean, they're guys that I couldn't stand. And this is when I was growing up. And they're guys that I loved. I'm trying to... I like George Gervin. That's before your time. Very smooth. I did like the Celtics. I like Paul Pierce a lot. And I love KG and Paul Pierce. let me think. I don't like Westbrook. I don't like Harden. He monopolized the ball.
But Westbrook, it's interesting you bring him up after Hayes's observation, because I do think he is someone who is saying
he's the closest
thing. I am, you know, dictating, like I'm passionate about fashion. I'm trying to do this thing, but I feel like the eras previously, part of the reason you don't feel like there's anyone that impactful anymore, Hayes, is because of social media and the access that haters have to influence what the perception of a player is.
Mm-hmm. How brutal would it have been?
I think it's the hater
parade.
To see
Walt Frazier like post fits and just have like an army of trolls be like that, like to say it looks busted or whatever.
Well, yeah, they would just have to lean over to their friend and say it before.
Yeah, Westbrook, I'm talking about his game I didn't like.
Sure.
Of course, yeah.
And now, and by the way, everyone now is into fashion in the NBA. A lot of them have stylists. Yeah. They okay. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, Clyde was, it was different.
Yes.
And when the Knicks won the championship, they won a couple. The first one in 69, they said, basketball, NBA, is going to be the sport of the 70s. That's what they said after that, because the Madison Square Garden was rocking. I think it's the first time they chanted defense at a game. And when they said it was going to be the sport of the 70s, they said, later they said they were a decade off. It was the sport of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Magic, Larry, and then Michael. And then it blew up. But, mm-hmm. you know, Jordan did the long shorts and all this stuff. But I was saying, I know what you're saying, who's the, I think there's so many influencers now in the NBA because everyone is doing their thing and, you know, blah, blah, the tattoos and the ink and the thing and, you know, but I miss Larry. I miss Larry Legend.
Craig, I don't want to forget to ask you about your lamp that I see in the back of the frame.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's very similar to lamps that are featured at The Prince, which is a bar/restaurant in Koreatown. Is it the same?
It's a different one. So it's a conquistador lamp. It's very pricey, obviously. But I've been to The Prince.
Sure.
Did you guys go there?
I've been inside it. You know, the
$2 valet parking.
The show New Girl, their local hangout bar, pilot was filmed inside The Prince. Then they rebuilt it later as a set. So a lot of people will know what it looks like, even if they've never been to L.A.
They used it. It's a very cool interior. I like old architecture, and I like to have drinks in places like that, like the Polo Lounge. I used to go to the Chateau Marmont and stuff. The Prince is actually in one of my top five movies, Chinatown. There's a scene with Faye Dunaway and Jack Nicholson in The Prince. I went about a year ago for the first time ever. Crowded. It was late crowded. Probably need to be vacuumed.
Oh, yeah.
Without hurting anyone's feelings, the food was god-awful.
Mm.
You got, it's a big menu.
Yeah.
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 They're doing too many things.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was awful. I mean,
did you check out the lamps?
No, I saw all the red and I just liked it, but I did not see, the lamps don't jump out. This is kind of a unique one, with the mica shade, but the conquistador is, I've had it a long time.
Craig, have you read The Big Goodbye?
No, I believe I saw part of the movie. Was the movie with Elliot Gould or not?
Oh, sorry. That's The Long Goodbye. The Big Goodbye is a more recent book about the making of Chinatown.
Oh.
Actually, heavily features interviews with a friend of yours, Mr. Robert Evans.
Yeah, okay. So I heard about that a few years ago. It's supposed to be riveting, right?
Terrific book. Yeah, I'm just about to finish it, actually. I've only got like 20 pages left, but absolutely loved it. The stories of the writing and the way that Polanski came and changed the script and the whole production process, the Dunaway and Nicholson stories from the set. It's really, really good.
You've heard me tell there are a couple of Evans stories. One I can't tell, but I've told it a few times. Have you heard the one about having dinner with him? You've heard that? I did that on a couple podcasts.
I don't know that one. We're happy to claim it as an exclusive.
I'll make it quick. So I used to have dinner with him. We'd go to the Palm or Spago and I was with my then girlfriend and he had a girlfriend and we'd go and at the end of dinner, he'd look at me and you guys want anything else? You want anything else? No, we're fine. Let's go. Let's just go. And we'd walk out without paying. He'd walk out without paying because they would send him the bill. They would send a bill to him at these restaurants. And at Spago, the young waiter freaked out and Wolfgang goes, it's okay. It's okay. And the rumor was that the bill would go to Sumner Redstone, that he would cover it because Bob made so much money for Paramount with The Godfather. So that was kind of, it was very cathartic. That's just cool. To walk out of the restaurant without paying.
Then just know someone will get it.
Yeah.
And I'll never hear about this again.
Yeah.
No one will ever mention it to me.
That's cool. And to get stopped by a young waiter and say, oh no, you're mistaken.
Yeah.
What I'm doing is correct. Me just standing up and walking away from a table without even seeing the check. And what you're doing is wrong. Yeah. That's a special feeling, I bet.
I had a similar experience last night at a restaurant where I'm leaving and the busboy is kind of like making eye contact with me as I go. And I'm like, oh, this must be a fan. Let's have the whole conversation. I'll give my time to this guy. And he goes, has anyone ever told you you look like the guy who owns Virgin Airlines?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've been building to it.
And I was like, don't tell me this.
That's
on my way out. I've just had a nice... No, the answer is no.
That's crazy. Why have I never thought about that? Because you always wear light blue button-ups, too.
Is that what he wears? Richard Branson wears what light blue button-ups?
You'll see Branson in those when he's a guest shark on Shark Tank. He's sometimes
I was wearing that last night.
Yeah.
Are you wearing one right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's 7 in the morning. I dressed up, you know.
Yeah, you got to put some buttons on. Yeah. Craig.
Craig.
That's a big wave in your hair. That's huge.
Thanks.
Huge wave.
It's the headphones are creating.
Takes hours.
Yeah. 3-point contest with Steve Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
You airballed the first one. Didn't hit any in the first rack. And then...
6 for 9 after that. After
got that wet rack. Ball after that.
Yeah, after the first rack, I went 6 for 9. A couple things. These are, and I like to teach, these are reasons, not excuses, reasons I struggled on the first rack. Uh-huh. I wasn't supposed to shoot that day. I was supposed to referee Kenny Smith versus Steve Kerr. I went out.
Oh, wow.
I had a long night. I had vodka in my system. I woke up. Mm-hmm. I said, Stiff, I said, God, I'm so glad I don't have to play anymore. Hey, Craig, Kenny Smith can't make it. You got to go against Steve Kerr. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. So I go there, and I warm up a little bit. And Steve Kerr is like, whoa, I might be in trouble because I'm a shooter. I can shoot. Downtown Freddie Brown, Mark Price, I can shoot. Best part of my game is my passing, but we won't have time for that. Okay. A lot of no looks, eyes in the back of the head, mm-hmm. Larry Legend, boom. First shot I take, I'm excited. I say Larry, and I airball it, and then I miss the whole first round. And then I get warm. And afterwards, I've told this before, but afterwards, you know, I lose. And the NBA wanted me to lose anyways. They didn't want me to beat Steve Kerr. They didn't want that. But he said to me, Steve Kerr says, "Have you ever practiced pulling the ball off the rack, pulling it off, and bringing it here?" I said, "No, I've never." And of course he goes, well, you got to get used to that first. You got to get used to that. I said, well, it's a bad pass. If the ball is way over here and you're pulling it back to your body, mm-hmm. It's a bad pass. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't used to pulling it off a rack. It was a late night, but once I got warm, 6 for 9, not too bad. I don't know.
Should they change the 3-point contest so that it's more of a catch and shoot motion where someone is firing the ball to the shooter?
Like a home run derby.
I'm going to say no, because there'll be some, you're adding a variable. You're adding a variable, and there'll be a bad pass, or someone will jam a finger or something. And I think these guys are now used to it. They shoot pretty well. Just because I struggled,
it's no fun anymore. It's too easy now. Yeah. I think that would be a great variable to add. If somebody's
I like it. I like it more than the dunk contest, because Cat won, man. Cat won the 3-point contest. Oh, what a feathery.
He really was into it, too. I mean, sometimes you don't know if they really, he really wanted to win.
Yeah.
I've noticed this. I've talked to people. So nationally, everyone loves Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. And everyone has a problem with Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Why does everyone have a problem with Cat?
I think it's body language.
Yeah. He whines. He whines more than a colicky baby. He's
kind of got bad posture.
Yeah, he slunches. He slunches.
He's really tall, and his shoulders kind of slump. I say this as someone with bad posture and slumping shoulders, but I watched him. We went to Summer League right after he was drafted, And I watched him up close, and I guess it's summer league, you know, you don't have to really care, but it was his first time playing, you know, as an NBA player with the Timberwolves jersey on. And he just, I mean, he just kind of had his shoulders slumped and he shuffled around. It just seemed like he didn't give a shit. And then I went to see another current Timberwolves player, D'Angelo Russell, has not borne out to be the star people thought he would be. But I'll tell you, he was fired up.
Yeah.
He was excited, and he was putting on a show for everyone. And I thought, well, at least this guy cares. And I, you know, obviously Cat, incredible high level player, is
right
in the NBA putting up huge numbers, but it doesn't, I don't know what it is. His face is posture. You don't feel the passion. Maybe it's not fair, but it doesn't.
It's interesting. I've never heard the posture thing about Cat, but I know people are irritated with Cat, and I love him. He's definitely quirky personality.
Craig, let's go back to to the play-in game. Let's think about you. I know you watched that whole game just as I did.
Yeah.
We shut Cat down. That was the game plan.
That was the number one thing. You got to shut this guy down because he's unbelievable. And you can take a player out.
Yeah.
I saw Dame Dollar a couple years ago dominate in the playoffs and then play the Warriors, and they just took him out of the series. They just double team him, trap him. You can do that.
You can do that. But the problem was we didn't have an answer for Anthony, and Anthony had a great shooting game.
And now, and guess who had the best game in that game? For D'Angelo at 29 points.
D'Angelo
he's streaky.
Came through.
He's streaky. And he played well.
He could go off, yeah.
But my point is, when you watched Cat during that game, as he's being shut down defensively, it's like he was like, I'm not getting my way. He complained about, he would miss an open layup that nobody was even guarding him on, that he would just miss the layup and then immediately run to the ref and complain about it. And it's like, hey, man, don't give up on your team, even though, like, find another way to be successful. Grab a rebound for a change. Do something else. He wasn't doing anything else. And I think that's the attitude that people don't like about him, is that he gets shut down and he completely gave up. He gave up after the middle of the second quarter.
Okay, so there is something that I, you know, obviously Jimmy Butler didn't like him. Let me just say something. I'm stunned. My favorite stat in the NBA is field goal percentage. His first 3 years, he shoots 54%. His jump hook down low is automatic. Mm-hmm. His three-pointer, he's just unreal. Now, he's definitely way too animated. He's a whiner. Mm-hmm. We're all concerned about his foul trouble. He does things where I was at games 3 and 4 against Memphis, and right in front of me, he reached up to get a rebound with his right hand. His left hand, he pulled the guy on the hip, and they called a foul. And I think he was like, He probably thought he was being sneaky where no one could see it. Everyone in Minnesota is concerned about his fouling and his whining.
Yeah.
Okay. But I didn't know. I thought it was some guys are like, because no big can guard him. You see what Tyronn Lue did was he'd usually have a power forward. Like when they played Utah, Gobert can't guard him, so they have a power forward, and then they have Gobert come over and double team. Jokic can't guard him, Embiid can't guard him. He's too quick. But I understand where he bothers people, and I thought it was more the personality or something. But there is something funny where Chris Finch says he came up with this term himself. So Cat drives a lot. He'll drive a lot and fall down, dunk or score, maybe lay it in. But he goes flailing, and his body language, it's flailing. And he, to the ref. And Finchie said, you know, Cat's got stray voltage. We've never heard this. What? Stray voltage. He's got some stray voltage. And everyone in Minnesota, the local media, we were all laughing, and my friends were laughing that Finchie came up with this, kind of like making fun of Cat. But people have a problem with him. I heard posture. You're 100% right about the whining. I just think the guy, I saw him score 60 at San Antonio this year.
He doesn't get his due. This is the greatest shooting big man of all time.
Are you serious or not? He says that.
I'm 100% serious.
I think
don't talk to me about Dirk.
Dirk.
Half as many attempts per game with a lower percent. I mean, the game changes, obviously. Right. Yeah, it makes sense.
If Dirk played in this era, maybe there'd be a conversation.
I was just looking up downtown Freddie Brown. Do you know how the most threes he hit in a season?
No, I know.
39.
Yeah, is that right?
Yes.
You just looked it up?
Yeah, I just looked it up. Steve Kerr had whatever, like 500.
Well, Larry Bird yes. said he never even practiced three-pointers. He says, I never practice it. Now that's all they do. But
and these guys would have, I'm sure, like dominated, like in the evolution of the game.
Right.
But
I would say, Kat, you know, I thought he was self-proclaimed the best shooting big man of all time. And the problem is, I've heard about Dirk, and you're right about the percentages. I don't know. Is Kevin Durant considered a big man? I don't know.
No.
He's considered.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He lies about his height so he doesn't get considered a big man.
Kevin Durant walks around saying he's 6'1".
Yeah.
He says he's 5'11". Now, I'll shoot Cat some bail here in that he's not the only superstar player that behaves this way.
Right.
And because Luka Doncic is notorious.
Say
for Luka.
Luka.
My lord.
He's notorious for doing the same thing.
I don't understand these guys. Do they not know? It's just so bizarre. You know,
you're on TV.
They're on TV. When I was at college at Montana State, I was the only Dr. J fan. Everyone else was either a Celtic on the basketball team, Celtic or a Laker fan. This is in the 80s during the Showtime Lakers and the Larry Bird Celtics. And I always like the different perspectives. I'd say to the guys, so who's the biggest whiner in the NBA? And the Celtics fans would say, are you kidding? Magic and Kareem. Are you kidding? Magic and Kareem. And then the Laker fans would go, McHale and Danny Ainge. Are you kidding? So it is, perception is entertaining.
Sure.
But
it was definitely McHale and Danny Ainge, though.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. I mean, no, I can't believe Luka. It's like, does he not? What is they're spoiled rotten?
Yeah,
you know,
it's very unappealing. He's such an exciting guy coming in, and he still is great to watch. But man,
Cat takes way more heat. He takes way more heat than Luka does for the same behavior. I would say.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what it is. You know, and people, you're right. Also, people don't like Rudy Gobert for different reasons. He's French and they don't like him.
Did you read there was a big ESPN article about some of the fracturing between him and Donovan Mitchell, and it's really like the post-game interviews where he'll do these little digs at like
who does the digs?
Gobert.
Gobert does digs in post-game?
Yes. Yeah, he did during the playoffs this year. He basically said that Donovan wasn't playing defense, which by the way, he wasn't that wrong.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know his personality at all. He did something funny in his press conference with the Wolves. Mm-hmm. He was very low key.
He gave everyone COVID again.
Yeah,
No, with the Timberwolves when he went to that's funny.
He said
I'm just trying to think if he did any digs. He did, because you just said he does digs. I didn't know he did that. But he said, no, you know, I'm excited to be here. And at some point they asked about how it will work out. And he said, no, I'm sure. I think I'll compliment Kat and he'll compliment me. And we have a great coach. And he did it. He says, he used to always complain about my screens. Like he said that, like he's Finch is sitting right next to him, but it was really funny. He goes, but now we're on the same team. Like he was saying that because he's really, he's supposed to be a good screener. And I mean,
he does. It's illegal a lot of the time. It's very hard, but he's a great screener. Yeah.
Because what he does is he puts his arms down so they're not out. Cause a lot of times you get called. So he puts them down and covers his crotch area with his hands. And he's so big, but, anyway, it was a funny moment in the press conference because one of the reporters, like a couple minutes later, said, what was wrong with his screens? And everyone, and Finch goes, they looked like they hurt, but they were great.
Craig, you mentioned Finch coining the term stray voltage for Kat.
Yeah.
I had a question whether you believe you coined this term, moving over a little bit more to your Hollywood career. The movie Old School, you say good talk.
Good talk. See you out there.
Was that the first occurrence? Did you invent that, or was that in the culture? It's the first time I remember hearing it, and to me, I said, "This man is a legend."
Did you say
he created good talk?
Oh, good talk, not Guy Code, right?
No, good talk. When is Guy Code? I guess conceivably could have been originated there as well.
I think Guy Code, I think they both originated in that scene. And I can't remember if I ad-libbed what I ad-libbed and what I'd have to ask Todd Phillips, the director, writer, what was there. Guy Code was definitely in the script. I know that.
Yeah.
Good Talk, I don't remember.
A Good Talk felt like it could have come from you. Just you finished destroying this guy in the bathroom.
Yeah, Good Talk, Proud of You. I did Proud of You. Yeah. That was mine. Proud of You was mine. But yeah, I can't remember, but it's... people like it. I hear it a lot.
Well, it infected the culture. I mean, it became, you know, overused ultimately in comedies.
Yeah.
But you like to trace these things back to their influence and say like, yeah, it worked so well here. No wonder everyone stole it.
Yeah. I actually, the night I was at the Prince, I told him I didn't like the food and we concluded and the guy goes, Good Talk. And then I left. It was very bizarre, but it happens all the time. That was a callback.
and I caught it.
Are there NBA players that you guys loathe? Does anyone here like Russell Westbrook or not? Nobody.
I do.
He can't shoot. He can't shoot.
I like him.
I definitely did, and it's sad sort of where he's at. Did you see the Jeremy Sochan thing the other day?
No.
This young Polish player was like streaming on Instagram and they're doing like this word association game or something, or like it's like taboo where like you have to say the, like get them to guess the word without saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy he's playing with says Westbrook gets a lot of these, and Sochan said bricks. And it was triple doubles.
Oh wow.
And this is all like live forever. This like goes all over the place. Mm-hmm. Sochan feels terrible. His dog is named Russell.
Wow.
Oh
my Lord.
In those, in the day, his MVP year, when there was like some controversy about like, is it, you know, it's just an extremely high usage rate. Like these are kind of fake numbers.
The stats
his
inflated,
system
yeah.
is set up for like him to get like the easy rebounds and things like that.
Yeah.
I was totally on board. It's like, you do it if it's that.
Yeah, the one thing people don't understand.
20 rebound. It's like, yes! it was out of control. And
he had a 20-20 game.
When I first started going to games, you know, I didn't grow up attending a lot of basketball games. When I would go to see the Thunder and watch him live just rip down the court like a demon,
faster with the ball than anybody,
I was like, man, this is the most exciting athletic person I have ever seen up close like this. And I really loved watching him play. I agree, like just losing that step athletically has really taken so much of the air out of his game, and then his inability, I think, to adjust
not good to begin
mentally
with,
to yes. that has made it harder to enjoy.
It's a lot of system stuff too. It's a lot of system stuff. I think he just did not fit with that system last year. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, like they take a step this year. They're not going to be the same Lakers that they were last year. They will be a playoff contender this year. I don't know how high up they'll be because the West is completely stacked, but the Lakers will be, you know, in the bottom five of the top 10 for sure. But like I don't believe. I'm a big Russ fan, Craig, and I go back to high school with me. I played against him in high school, hated him then, but watched him at UCLA and have watched his career the whole time, and just see the hate that he gets, like when I don't think it's deserving. And again, just like Sean just said, the dude had a 20-20-20 game. That's not easy to do in the National Basketball Association.
Right.
So like and the year of triple doubles that he had, people were like, oh, he's stat pad and he's doing this, he's doing that. And these people are sitting on their couch at home saying it's crazy. Like you cannot like somebody in the league, but to say that they are doing anything less than being insanely talented at their job is crazy.
It's similar to Towns in that like people focus so much on what they don't like about certain players that they disrespect what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let me know when I can weigh in on why I don't like Russell Westbrook. I mean,
please,
this guy.
Right now.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite players aesthetically and is Dwayne Wade. One of my absolute favorites.
Absolutely.
I saw Mark Jackson on ABC a couple years ago when during the playoff, Dwayne was still playing, and he said, best two guard of all time, Michael Jordan, then Kobe. I think third is Dwayne Wade. So I love Dwayne Wade. I like his economy of moves. I like how athletic he is. I loathe Westbrook. He can't shoot, but he does something that I find irritating. And Kobe did this, and I was not a Kobe fan. God rest his soul. Plays angry. I'm just gonna go to the rim, and I'm so fast. When you say fast with the ball, yeah, you know, Jordan would dribble up. He's not going full speed. He's not out of control. He could go faster dribbling the ball up. So can LeBron, is as fast as they get. I'm a huge LeBron fan.
Oh, thank God.
I want to transition to my Kobe LeBron thing in a second. But Westbrook can't shoot. He plays angry. I don't like his feel for the game. And he's just like, there's something, you can't shoot. And he shoots 28% on threes and whatever. I just don't like his game. And he gets angry and drives to the rim, and he's very athletic. I get it. But I don't really care about those stats. I know they're definitely impressive. I mean, I didn't watch. This is where I say I don't watch as many games as I used to. So I really didn't see DeJounte Murray play, and that he was going to get traded. And I looked at his stats, and I'm like, holy buckets.
Yes.
Nine rebounds, 8 assists. Yep. What? 21. Whoa, this guy. They say he's not a great outside shooter. He put up some stats because the Wolves almost were going to trade for him. Yeah. But I'm glad we didn't. But because we'd have to give up a lot. He's better than D'Angelo. I mean, D'Angelo is a whole nother story. He's very erratic. But I don't like Russell Westbrook as a player. And that's I've kind of said why. I think he plays out of control with his crazy athleticism, and he can't shoot, and he plays angry. Now that transitions to, I'm going to say something. This is an insight that I have. LeBron James is the second greatest player of all time. If I have a martini, I might say he's equal with Jordan, but that's, you know, I don't know. He's very, very good. He passes very well. Don't like his jump shot. You know, like Bronny, his son, has better form. Okay. Pull, you know, tuck that elbow a little more. He's unbelievable, LeBron James. And I live in LA, and I always saw the flaws in Kobe's game, his shot selection, 44%, LeBron shooting 50%, Dwayne Wade 49%. And I thought Kobe just took awful, awful shots, awful shots. And so I would go, I was at the Musso and Frank and the legendary place, and Sonny is the bartender. He's from New York. He's actually a Knicks fan. And I said, hey, this is what I don't do this anymore because this is before Kobe passed. And I said, Do you know basketball? Do you know who's better between Kobe and LeBron, right? He says, Kobe. I said, it's LeBron. And he took my martini away. So I don't do it anymore because I understand they're obsessed with Kobe, his competitive nature. So this is kind of what it is. Somebody said, you know, who's a Kobe fan, he says he actually misses, you know, percentage-wise, LeBron hits more clutch shots than Kobe. Mm-hmm. But Kobe, it's his body language. So let's say LeBron misses a game winner and he's in control, he walks off the court. Okay, that's okay, whatever. And then Kobe misses and he's like, he walks off the court like, oh. And everyone's like, well, look at him, he's a competitor, he's angry, he wants to make, he's going to make it next time. Like, it's his body language of, like when they double teamed him in the game 7 against the Celtics and he goes 6 for 24, because he's going to shoot. I'm not going to stop shooting. He's so competitive. And it's just like, you know, if you discipline a little bit. Now, LeBron, I don't know. Do you guys like LeBron?
That's Carl. Carl's with favorite of all time. We all love him, but Carl is a huge, huge LeBron
supporter. He's my guy.
Supporter.
Okay. He got drafted when I was in 8th grade.
Right.
And as you can see, I'm not a Laker fan, but I did grow up here in Los Angeles.
Right.
And LeBron was my guy when the Clippers were not in the playoffs. So.
Right. You do know it's illegal. I believe it's illegal if the law has passed. You can't be a LeBron fan and a Patrick Beverly fan.
You absolutely can't. Well, take me to jail then. Me to jail, Craig.
I mean.
Call the constable. Because
that's jail time. That's jail time.
Put me away.
Who's your third favorite player? Lance Stevenson?
No, he's not. my personal favorite players are like LeBron, Shaq, Russ, PG. and right, Pat Bev.
Like I wasn't a huge Shaq fan because of the offensive fouls, but that's just me.
I wanted to
big Chris Dudley guy, huh?
Arvydas Sabonis.
Dudley Do-Right over here.
No, here's my thing on Shaq. I actually had David Stern on the show years ago, and I asked about the Shaq thing, and he gave the answer. I knew, it's hard. He's hard to referee. Well, he initiates the contact. That's why you have to foul him hard to send him to the line. You're like, you're just going to let him go. But as a center, you're allowed to go over someone with a sky hook. You're allowed to spin and go around them or up and under like McHale. You can't go through my chest or Dikembe Mutombo's jaw. So, but Shaq is obviously very talented, and he was capable of scoring without going through people's chest. He mm-hmm. had a great spin move.
Yes.
And he could back down and shoot a little push shot off the glass. But when he went through people, it bothered me. Anyway,
here's my thing about that, Craig. I also grew up playing big man, and people will hit you. And because of your size, the ref won't call it. And so you have to figure out a way to stop them from hitting you. And if you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you back.
Okay, so I see it slightly differently. I wanted to have this conversation with Jeff Van Gundy, who I interviewed once, but he was doing a game with when his brother was coaching, Stan was coaching the Orlando Magic and Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard, in transition, they're trying to rim run and get down underneath the basket, and you're supposed to, as a defender, meet him at the free throw line and keep your arms up and not mm-hmm. let him get position. And Jeff defended Dwight Howard, said, you know the beating these guys take? You know the beating they take? Mm-hmm. And I want to say, they're initiating the contact, man. Tim Duncan didn't get hit. Did I just yell? But Tim Duncan didn't get abused. I mean, we can't always say Tim Duncan because he's the greatest. He's unbelievable. I don't know what Carl thinks of Tim Duncan, but he wasn't hacked to death. He had the fundamentals.
He's Dwight the number Howard one would push.
Powerful Dwight Howard can't shoot beyond 3 feet.
Yeah.
So he has to dunk all the time. Shaq can't shoot a 7-footer, a 8-foot shot. But they're initiating the contact, and then the defender either lets him go and dunk, or you lets him go and he dunks. Lets him go and dunks, or he shoots a free, send the line and shoot a free throw. But I understand it definitely hurts when you clobber Shaq, but Shaq is initiating the contact, in my opinion.
Okay. Tim Duncan is the number one power forward of all time. Think of Tim Duncan. I wouldn't say otherwise. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
People want to say that I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. I have normal.
Does he bother you because he's so calm and low key?
No, the Spurs were boring in those days.
Wait a second.
But when the Spurs were not boring, they passed boring. The ball when they had Ginobili and they played against. They beat the Heat. Remember when they blew it? This is where I would love to ask Popovich, why did you take Duncan off the floor when Ray Allen hit that three? His reasoning is, we don't have him guard the 3-point line. Well, he would have gotten the rebound and, whatever.
Yep.
Then they win the next year. And the passing that Spurs team had, the ball movement and the passing is a thing of beauty. They were fun to watch. Sacramento Kings were fun to watch.
Sacramento Kings? In that era with Chris Webber, got cheated by the Lakers in the West Conference
Thank
Finals.
You. My Lord.
I'm not crazy, Craig. However.
Do you know what David Stern said? And I actually talked to him. They wanted me to do NBA TV, and I had a conversation with him, and I was just like, it was really hard to recover from that Kings-Lakers series. I just thought it was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
oh, yeah.
But we all oh, go ahead. Sorry.
He said, no, the famous quote he said to me, he goes, I took a lot of heat for this, and this was way before the Donahue, the referee thing. Mm-hmm. He says, a reporter once asked him, do you want the Lakers in the finals? Don't you? You business wise, that's good for the league to have you make money. You want the Lakers in the finals. And he said, I want the Lakers versus the Lakers in the finals.
Yeah.
Craig, I want to ask on your new show, The Life Gorgeous.
The Life Gorgeous, YouTube.
You ask people their top five movies in every episode. Do you have a top five basketball movies list just off the top of your head?
Good question. question. Good question. I'm allowed one good question a broadcast. I'm not a big sports fan movie, but I do have a few. I've seen a lot of them, and then don't get mad when I haven't seen the ones you talk mm-hmm. about.
Okay.
I would say I like Hoosiers with Gene Hackman. I'm a Gene Hackman fan. I like Hoosiers. Here's one that's kind of comical, but it's so funny because Spike Lee calls it the worst basketball movie ever made. One-on-One with Robbie Benson. And that was kind of you guys probably never saw it, right?
No,
don't know it.
Yeah, it's from the 70s. Seals and Croft did the soundtrack. Ned O'Toole was in it. But that was, it was kind of an innocent basketball movie, but it was kind of fun. Let's see. I saw Blue Chips. What am I missing? There was...
Like Fish That Saved Pittsburgh?
I'm glad you brought that up. Awful. And I was a Dr. J fan. Awful. I'd say to Spike Lee, that's infinitely worse than One-on-One. But One-on-One was about, you know, Robbie Benson. It wasn't gritty. It was, you know, suburban guys playing ball. So it was a little different. But
did you see Hustle? The new one?
Not yet. I heard it's good.
It's pretty fun.
That's good.
I heard it's good.
The first thing you mentioned was Hoosiers, and you said you're a big Gene Hackman fan. Now, I watched an older Gene Hackman movie I'd never seen before, and I wonder if you've seen it. It was called Night Moves.
I think I started it.
I just watched it last week.
Yeah, it's supposed to. People like it, right?
He's a private eye. It was a strange one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in those old movies, you get these snippets of dialogue they wouldn't say it today. And I know you don't like cursing. I know you don't like the F word. So you don't have to listen to this part. But a guy in the show was describing another gentleman who was extremely horny. And he said, that boy would fuck a woodpile on the off chance there's a snake in it.
That's funny though.
And I thought
that's
he's
horny.
Hoping there's a snake in there. It's one step beyond anything that moves, isn't it?
Right.
It's things hilarious. That don't move that might have had something moving.
That's hilarious.
So I thought that was a good line, and I thought maybe that should be brought back at some point.
Did you guys say you saw The Offer, The Making of the Godfather?
I watched The Offer. Yeah, I watched all the episodes.
So there's an F word. I won't use it, but one of my favorite lines. But you have to know the background. But basically, it was when Robert Evans was married to Ally McGraw, and they're shooting. Ally is down in Texas shooting The Getaway with Steve McQueen, and she ended up leaving Robert Evans for Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
But Robert Evans goes down there and knocks on the door. It's a motel room, and she won't open it all the way. Is McQueen in there? Are you effing the Blob? And it was funny because when my brother and I growing up, my brother was really into science fiction. And for some reason in the Blob, this movie, The Blob, Steve McQueen was starting out and he was in the Blob, which, you know, then he obviously blew up and became huge. And then Robert Evans in that moment, and this was written for the series, obviously, very colorful. Mm-hmm. They're dismissing Robert Evans as not The Great Escape or Bullet, but as the Blob, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And he's not even the Blob. Like, he's not the Blob.
Exactly.
He's
that's the blob. Other he's, that's the other reason
he's
it didn't
just
work.
With the Blob.
He was in the Blob. All right. It didn't work on a couple levels, but I love the reference to the Blob.
It's like if she was with Schwarzenegger and you went, are you having sex with Predator?
Right.
And it's like, well,
no.
No. He killed Predator.
He hates Predator.
That's his greatest enemy. Craig, you know, we do have to wrap up soon. We do a thing on the show, and I'll ask Kevin to check back in if he's ready. Occasionally, we'll write a little bit of a parody song. We'll record it over a karaoke track, maybe about something that's happening in the league or whatever. But I really rushed this morning to splash together something to kind of plug your podcast.
Oh, nice.
As a bit
Thank
of a
you.
Tribute to you.
Right.
And Kevin, do you have that ready for us?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe we could play that and that'll take us out. And you could tell me, I know my vocals aren't perfect.
Well,
I know
I'm glad I don't have to
right.
sing because I don't sing, but I love music.
So this, and hopefully it's a song you enjoy. And there was a slight moment of context. I know Goldie and Alex Sulkin had asked you about you checking yourself in the mirror during commercial breaks on your late night show, and you explained that you have very fine hair.
Flies around.
And it's prone to flyaways.
Yeah.
And so in the chorus, you might see a little bit of a reference to that.
That's beautiful. You put some time into this. Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Kilby, you're a fine man. I'll write the lyrics.
Sure. Well, there's a host from the land of lakes, and he's got lots of fresh jokes and takes. He helps folks to laugh their cares away. He's welcome in their homes. And there's a show he's about to release, and we think you will be very pleased when you hear the life gorgeous soon. He drinks fine whiskey and wine, and people say, Kilby, you've got fine hair, but you style it to a T. Yeah, you're very funny to me. That's all we got.
Oh, keep it going, man.
Hey, you know, maybe we'll do a full version for the album.
That was great. And your voice is, yeah, it kind of, the fact that it's not perfect, it means it's more heartfelt.
It's a little
sense.
More homemade,
it's
a little DIY.
It's better than it's
yeah.
worse. Yeah.
I'm not showing off with like, I'm some right. great singer. It's just like, right. I'm passionate care. About this I'm topic.
Exactly.
And I don't mind if I'm a little embarrassed yeah. when I release it.
Right. Fanboy.
Thank you,
I think
Craig.
It's called a fanboy. Yeah.
I'm fan.
I'm that was fan fun, of. Guys.
Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
We really appreciate you doing the show.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Happy 200 to us, the Flagrant Ones.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.